Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Up in Jason Sakanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Primetime with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Yeah.
Hey, what it do?
Bro.
Hey.
What's
happy,
up?
Happy Monday. What day is it today?
Sunday.
Yeah, happy Sunday to you.
Big games today.
Oh, I'm very excited.
Yeah, Giants.
Think the Seahawks have a chance?
I am stoked for this Niners-Bronco game tonight. It's going to be so good.
It's going to be a lot of
shootout.
Offense.
So good.
This is going to blow you guys away. Are you ready for this?
I am.
I think the final score of the Broncos-Niners game is going to be 11-10.
No.
That's only
how do you even get 11?
One other time.
One other time in NFL history.
How do you even get 11 points?
Wow, you're going to have a safety in there.
What are you going to tell me? The halftime score is 7-5?
Yeah.
Yeah, come on.
Get out of here. Ridiculous.
Yeah, what's up?
Hey,
hey Rob. Hey, how's it going? That's Luke Anderson right over there, ladies and gentlemen.
Thanks for having me in.
We used to have a clap sound effect, but it's been cut from the budget. No one cares that you're here.
Hey.
Luke Anderson is in for our dear friend Big Soup today. He was out. He'll be back tomorrow. So thanks for filling in.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I was. I'm always happy to do a Monday show because there's a lot to get to, and it's pretty much going to be what 30% of the things that we have to talk about today that we'll actually get to.
Yeah. It's usually the notes are always full on Monday,
of course,
and there are many weeks. This time of year where you get to Friday and it's still not emptied.
Yeah, 100%.
We haven't gotten to things from the weekend prior. And
well, that's like we do the Saturday show, the Sinner and Saint. We get to...
One of my favorite shows on The Fan.
But we get to maybe 12% of the things we want to preview.
And I'm not kidding.
I appreciate that.
I love Sinner and Saint.
I think it's okay.
It's a great show.
It's all right.
I like it. It's a vibe.
But yeah, on Saturday mornings, 2 hours, and we're talking Ducks, we're talking Beavs, but you get to 12% maybe of the things that you actually want to talk about. Because then I'm more of an NFL fan than I am a college football fan. And we get to like 9 minutes of NFL talk. That's all you can do.
Yeah. NFL sometimes takes a backseat on a Monday.
Yeah.
But that means if you're an NFL fan, you tune in on Tuesdays.
Yeah, there
Big
you go.
Big Tuesday.
And Wednesday and Thursday.
Yeah.
And Friday.
And Friday.
Yeah.
So. We love our football here.
Yeah.
And it will be mostly football today, although I've got a whole segment of other things.
Ooh, well, I think we need to talk about the Seattle Mariners.
Yeah.
I think that's...
And Albert Pujols.
Yes.
That was a cool moment
Friday night.
I don't know if you saw that.
Yes, I did. Two home runs. And
we got nothing
from history.
Aaron Judge, you know, so...
But yeah, the Mariners-Royals game might have been one of the worst games in Mariners history.
Yeah, the Mariners blew an 11-2 lead.
Yeah, in one inning.
Yeah.
Took them. They got the lead in the fifth. And then the sixth, they're like...
Ah, with great pitching.
Oh, I'll tell you what. To a guy they just signed to a $108 million extension.
Yeah, right.
He brings him into the... He goes into the sixth.
Hey, look. It happens. Now, here's the thing about today's broadcast. We have two very fluid events happening while we are disseminating this broadcast.
Yeah.
One fluid event is that John Sakanik, Jason's brother, is currently in. I believe he has set foot within the boundary... of the All-American.
How exciting.
Significant because hashtag catch365, which is his bit that he's doing online, is going to my childhood home tonight to play catch with Ma and Pa Rob.
How good is that? Ma and Pa Rob.
That's the idea.
Nice.
We'll see what ends up happening.
How's the arm on Ma and Pa?
Well, it's not going to be good. It's not going to be good. But we're hoping that we're hoping that it just is completed.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, I got you.
I mean, look, they're old. They're almost 80.
Yeah,
and so, you know, they're fighting on a lot of fronts, but tonight they're very excited to host John and Heather.
Yeah.
And I think they might even be out to dinner right now. Like, they wanted to take them to dinner.
What's the athletic history on your folks? They got a reputation around town. Did dad used to play a little shortstop? Mom play some water polo?
No.
So you got all the athletic talent.
Yeah, it's kind of weird that such a great athlete came from them.
This is why I'm surprised.
Of course, I'm talking about myself.
Yeah, obviously.
But no, dad, you know, he grew up on a farm and he was having to, you know, they were again fighting on a lot of fronts. Like, there were no time for sports. You had to you had to milk the cows and what do you do with chickens? I don't know.
You collect the eggs.
Collect the eggs.
Feed them.
Feed the pigs. Yeah. And you had to make ends meet. Yeah. Had to skin the coons, you know. They would have the coon skins, and they would sell them.
Make tournament hats.
You know, it was the olden days.
Yeah.
I mean,
life on the prairie.
Yeah.
Man,
it was like the 1800s.
Sure. Well, they're almost 80, so yeah, that math checks out.
Yeah. So, my mom was also not of the athletic variety. So.
There you go.
Yeah, so this could be the first time they've ever thrown a bit. No, I'm kidding. My dad played catch with me often as a youth, and I knew that, you know, you do this with your kids. Do you do this with your kids?
Throw stuff at them and hope they catch it? Yeah, I do.
You're two little girls, right?
Yep.
And how old are they?
5 years old, but just started kindergarten. Twin girls.
Yep. So they probably didn't want to play catch like a little boy, but I would wait for dad to get home so I could play catch with dad, and I could pitch, and I would want him to crouch down like a catcher, but he wouldn't always want to crouch down. Sometimes it's like, not tonight.
Yeah.
And then other times, like, all right, throw me a couple pitches.
Yeah.
And he did that quite often begrudgingly. You know, I think a lot of times dads are like, oh, God. I mean, it's, you know, like you want to, but at the same time you don't. It's like boring for you. You're the old.
Yeah.
But the kid is getting a lot out of it. And I was getting a lot out of it. I loved that, playing catch as a kid. And he would oblige. So
there you go.
Other than that, I don't know of much throwing history out of him. But
there you go.
I would also throw the tennis ball off of the house and pretend I was an infielder.
How old were your siblings?
My brother's 3 years older.
Just one brother?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You guys didn't get a lot of catch in?
You know, funny enough, not really.
Yeah. See, that was my thing is my brother Paul and I play catch with anything. It was just, you know, like we'd throw football, throw frisbee. Like we went and he and I were staying with my grandparents. We used to go up to what we called granny camp. And five kids in my family, so my grandma would be like, hey,
it could mean a lot of things.
Well, yeah.
Granny camp.
You go ahead and figure out what it wanted to be. She agreed she'd take two of the kids at a time. My sister had a cousin the same age, so my sister and our cousin Ruth would go at the same time. And throughout the summer, she would do three rounds of granny camp, so you'd go up there and stay. But you're hanging out with, you know, a 60-year-old woman and my grandpa had Parkinson's, and so they weren't playing catch with us. But we went to the store and bought a Frisbee, and me and my brother decided we were going to learn to throw a Frisbee in every manner possible.
Nice.
And then we would see if we could catch 100 in a row or whatever it was, and we got 100, and we're like, let's do 150.
Love this.
So he and I, like, always agreed that, like, any time we could play catch, we would play catch whatever it was. And then my brother Frank and I, we would always do the competition where
Frank.
It was, oh, Frank. Frank played a little college basketball for the Grays Harbor Chokers.
Wait, is that a real team?
True mascot, yes.
What is that? Like,
The choker setter is one of the more dangerous jobs on in a lumber crew.
Okay.
So if you're going and harvesting trees from the great forests of the Pacific Northwest, you send a guy up to set the choker.
He's the choker.
And so you'd set the cable on the trees to make sure they fell in the right direction. So the choker setter was the guy that climbed the trees. Hook the wire. Very dangerous.
Dangerous
job.
And important.
Yeah.
Not a great name for an athletics team.
No. Both my brother and his wife played basketball for the Chokers.
Yeah.
And so,
that'd be like calling a football team the Incompletes, you know, like.
Sure. Well, the most famous alumni of the Grays Harbor Chokers.
Not Frank. Anderson.
No, but back in the 1950s, I believe, a young man named John Madden. What a football back when they had a football team for the Chokers. Yeah, so you can look that up.
Wow.
But anyways, he and I, anytime he and I had competition, it was shooting something into a basket.
Yeah.
It was one of something like that. But we would play horse until our arms almost fell off. Yeah. And so, yeah.
That's
how I remember. But yeah, with my kids, I try to get them to play catch with each other.
Like, right.
I'm happy to play
that way
catch.
You don't have to do anything.
Eh.
It's great.
Eh. Yeah. I thought for sure when I had kids, I'd be like right in there with the competition.
Yeah.
Then I had twins, and I'm just like, let's see what happens.
Right. Let's just pit them against one another.
100%. Oh yeah.
Well, make each other better.
That's it.
Stronger.
That's it. But yeah, they get a little squabble. Let's see how this. If this do you can think resolve one is, itself?
Do you think one is stronger than the other?
Yeah. So actually,
and we'll have much more fortitude in the world.
I have a daughter that actually has what she calls beast mode.
Oh.
And she's not familiar with John Lynch, but she claims to be the strongest of the two. And and her sister starts every fight. She finishes every fight. So yes, right nice. Now it has been determined that we nice. Have one. One who will wipe the other one off the face of the earth if necessary.
Okay, so we have two fluid events going. Okay, so
we got the catch.
John is going to call us because it gets dark out there. You know,
it's
another,
real dark.
It's another part of the country.
Yeah.
And so it gets dark earlier than here. I don't know if you know how that works.
Also, there is no light pollution because no electricity in Kansas yet.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they will have to play catch before it gets dark.
Gotcha.
So he was hoping to line it up to where he calls into the show as he's playing catch with my parents.
Gotcha.
During his segment, mailing it in at 6:55 here, or 6:45 or whenever we get to it. But he won't. He's likely just going to call us whenever they start playing catch.
What are the chances he just throws the old speedball at Pa Rop and just puts it right in his ribs or something?
I hope not.
Okay. Now, Jason.
Yeah, he probably would. I feel like John, I was talking to Suk off the air about John in this regard last week before we adjourned for our weekend. And I said, you know, John strikes me as the type that would be great with the olds.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
no
like
question.
The church vibe. You know, he and Heather's very thoughtful, his wife, and she's with him. And they're a special pair. And I think there's going to be a great bond between Ma and Pa Rop and the Secanics tonight. At least I feel like the bones are there for that to occur, so we'll see if that happens.
John is very easy to get along with.
Yeah.
I mean,
I just think he'd be good with the olds. You know, like they get tired, you got to help. Like my mom, you got to help her get around. She doesn't get around very well, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's going on.
Did you get your catch in?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. See, I've not been invited for the catch 365. I got to get on that list.
There's probably a reason for that.
Probably.
Okay, the second thing that's happening, it's a fluid event, is, I don't know if you saw this, but we have sent that rocket into space to smash into the asteroid, and we sent it up there like 10 months ago. It was last year.
Yeah.
But it is ready tonight, and I think they said it's about an hour from now, 4:14 Pacific Standard Time. I believe the rocket that we launched is going to smash into an asteroid, and we're supposedly... able to watch this online. I don't know. I'm going to try to look it up during the break.
That sounds awesome.
And this is the first time we've ever done this. We're trying to redirect, and we're trying to find out if we can hit an asteroid and redirect it.
And this is just in case. Like, this isn't something on
this
a collision course.
Yeah, no, it's just a test. They said this asteroid, it will have no effect on Earthworld.
What are the chances we redirect it into Earth? Like, what if we miss just ever so slightly? Like, it's not on a collision course now. We send the rocket up. It hits it, redirects it. It's coming right
That would not
us.
Be good. Then you'd have to send another rocket at it.
Yeah.
And then if that takes 10 months, I think we're in trouble.
Yeah, I think so.
But I don't know.
Let's get Bruce Willis on it.
So this is very... Yeah, right. Yeah. It is very Armageddon. This is exciting. Exciting fluid radio broadcast today.
Yeah.
Luke is in for Suk. We've got Patrick over in the other room. I think he's over there. I can't see him, but I think he's in there.
As far as I know.
I'm here.
There he is.
Did you get your catch with John yet, Patrick?
Yeah, we did ours early on. He came in and sat in. I think it's the hot corner right before the season starts. We always have John on, and we preview the series. Preview the season, and John talks Mariners. And then we went out, and me, Mike, Joe, and him all played catch in the parking lot down at Bancroft.
You know, you'd think he'd be running out of catch 365 subjects.
Yeah.
But he's not. He's got a laundry list of people. See, the more you do it and the more you publicize it, the more people come out of the woodwork like you and say, well, wait a minute, what about me?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know that John and I ever played catch, but you know the story. I knew Jason from high school. We played football together. Jason was a senior when I was a sophomore.
Yes.
And then
Jason was a bully, as you have reported.
We talked about that.
But we all know
that whole thing. But also, after Jason graduated, John came in and was one of our football coaches.
Yeah.
And he and I used to chuck footballs at players we didn't like on the second team defense. And so I don't know that we ever actually played catch, but we would sit there and throw footballs together and just rifle them at teammates of mine and you know, nice. People that he was supposed to be inspiring.
Right.
So yeah.
Well, that's football, though.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be inspiring people in football by tearing them down. Right?
Yeah.
Isn't that
beating them in the head
with
the football.
Easiest thing to do?
Yeah.
We also have a hurricane barreling down on the Caribbean. It's in the Caribbean. It's barreling down on Tampa Bay,
well, there
I
you
think.
Go. Three events, plus Monday Night Football will start before the end of the broadcast.
Giants, Cowboys.
Ooh, undefeated New York Giants.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Daniel Jones
and
Cooper Rush.
It's must-see TV. Come on.
Who has the better quarterback?
Ooh.
Think about that question.
Yeah.
Let's get started. We always start Mondays with college football, and we had some really fun games to watch here locally in the Northwest, and we will get to those to start our show next on The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, here's our poll question today on Twitter at 1080 The Fan. It is brought to you by AAA Heating and Cooling, a family business helping families for over 60 years. AAAIAQ.com. Today we are asking you a very simple question with only two answers, two potential answers.
Okay.
You must pick one. Who cooged it more, the Beavers or the Cougs? Log on and vote at 1080 The Fan. All we ask is that you vote hard.
I don't think that's as much of a cooging it for the Beavs as it was for the Cougs. I mean,
I agree.
Yeah, the Cougs
the
had,
Cougs cooged it.
Well, and they had the ball with an opportunity to bleed clock and threw the ball not once but twice to give the Ducks plenty of clock.
Did you think that was...
then threw the interception to completely eliminate the chance of coming back. I mean, that was...
Yeah.
What was it? 22 points in 2 minutes and 40 seconds or something like
21.
That? 21. Oh, 21 points. Sorry.
Yeah, they were down... It was 34-22.
Yeah.
With 4 minutes left?
Yeah.
And the Ducks won 44-21. Or, I mean, 44-41.
Yeah.
So, did you think... Okay, you mentioned... So I agree with you. I think the Cougs... got as close to a classic cougit as you can get.
Yeah.
I mean, there are more egregious cooginits.
Sure.
But that was... And the Beavs kind of cooged it too.
Yeah, but they...
They kind of did.
The other thing... They... A little bit. But they also kind of played the perfect game up until that point from a defensive standpoint. And it just felt like at some point that was going to go away.
Mm.
Like it was just, they were doing so much. The problem with the...
But isn't that cooging it though? Isn't like,
yeah.
The idea of cooging it is,
but
no matter how much is going right, they're going to be the Cougs.
And that's where I'm going to step in.
To coug it,
even though us Wazoo fans don't like the term, it actually started with Clemson in it.
Yep.
But
it does sound better.
It is now like... cooging it. Cooging it is more of like, it's a late game situation. You can't throw four picks all day and look terrible on offense all game and then be like, oh, we cooged it. No, it's like you're clearly the better team. And at the jaws clench of the end, is when you get defeated.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
well, I don't know that they're clearly the better team. Let's eliminate that.
Okay.
Part
yeah.
Of it.
Cam Ward felt like the best player.
You clearly have a chance to win this game, yes. And in theory should win this game.
And you find a new and creative way to lose.
But Nolan can't coug it for four quarters.
It's true. Well, and the other thing about the finish for the Washington State Cougars was the chatter had become during the game was like, where are they going to be ranked? This is amazing. Like, now we have to give them credit for everything they've done. They've already beaten Wisconsin. It was like a coronation.
Yeah.
And then it turned into, oh, never mind. Like, that was part of it. Like,
it really
there
was
so much, like, just deflation in those. And then it was, they lost the lead and had a chance to get it back. And then Mace Funa just grabs the ball out of midair with these giant mitts and just goes, never mind.
That was kind of Coogan. I mean, that right there was Coogan.
Yeah.
Just the interception was Coogan. Yep.
Totally. Well, and Cam Ward had thrown, like, the most ridiculous pass, laying vertical 2 inches off of the ground over a defender earlier. And then the one that gets picked off isn't the one where he tries to do too much. It's the one where he just drops back and just tries to make the simple throw. And just the amount of air that went out of that stadium made it feel like Coogan. Where the Beavs were, they were just like, you're like, this. There's no way they can win this game. They're going to win this game. And they did.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah. So there's your poll question at 1080 The Fan on Twitter. Vote hard. Did you think, so you brought up the two times that Washington State threw, and I think it was 34, was it 34-29 at that point?
That sounds right.
And I'd have to, that drive.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Yeah, and they had to punt.
Yep. And they went three and out with taking like 20 seconds off the clock.
Wasn't that the one, though, where there looked to be a face mask?
Yes.
And I forget by which duck, but boy, did they didn't show a replay of very, at least I don't remember them showing a very close up replay of that. That sure as hell looked like that was a face mask, and it would have been an auto first down for Washington State and maybe the game.
It was one of those plays. Well, and the Ducks tried to lose the game with penalties. Like they tried
to coup it.
They did. Well, no, but they never had the lead. Like they kept trying to eliminate themselves with penalties. Like that's how they got the deficit at the end, anyways, because they kept just the DJ Johnson hit, and then the who was the other guy? That had the hands to the face, and then Dorless.
That was Dorless.
Yeah, with the hands to the face.
Yeah.
But then
I didn't like that call.
I didn't love that call either. But it, I mean, by the letter of the law, you could see it. But the thing about that face mask, if I remember it correctly, it was one of those where in the replay, it looked like the face mask was grabbed, but there was no pulling of the helmet. Because when those get called, it feels like you can see the guy's head get nearly, you know, like his head is going the opposite direction of his body. It feels like even just slightly, you go, oh, there's a face mask. Those are where it's easy to call. At full speed, it's so difficult to see that, I think, as an official. Until, like, same thing with holding. It's like if you see a jersey get torn, well, we're going to throw it every time. You see a shoulder pad get ripped where the top half of his body's going the different direction from the bottom half. Yes, the replay looked like a face mask to me, but it didn't feel like, oh, they missed an obvious call.
I thought it was worth exploring, although.
Yeah, but you can't review it. That's what I mean. It's like if you don't call it on the field, there was a play, I'm trying to think, maybe it was at the end of the Oklahoma game, maybe where the guy makes the catch right at the goal line, and they didn't call it a touchdown, and then you have to throw the challenge flag. Maybe it was a different game, but either way, it's one of those things where whatever the call is on the field. Oh, a perfect example is the Ducks interception, where they called it an interception.
Boy, I didn't think that was a pick.
Well, but how do you prove that it wasn't?
I thought,
because he kind of ended up with the ball, but the
I
burden
the
of
ball
proof,
hit the ground. I mean, look, I'm not smart. Yeah. These guys on the broadcast are smart. I thought it hit the ground. It sort of looked like it hit the ground, but maybe he had his hand under it.
It was, but again, if it was called incomplete, I think it stays incomplete. If you called it a reception, it might have even stayed a reception. But you called an interception on the field, it's just so hard not to call it that. So yeah, it's with the face masking. If you don't see it the first time,
well,
you kind of miss it.
Either way, the Ducks win. The Beavers lose.
Yeah.
Where do we start? Probably with the Oregon State game. A lot to talk about there.
Yeah.
Let's do that next. There's our poll questions on Twitter at 1080 The Fan. It is 3:28. Here's Patrick with SportsCenter.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever,
or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Prime time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, the live stream from NASA is up. I'm on my iPad here. It says impact with asteroid, 40 minutes and 12 seconds.
What do we expect from an explosion in space? Because there's no oxygen. So do we get like a big...
I don't know.
There's no atmosphere.
This is why we tune in.
Yeah?
Hey. I mean, it feels like you should be able to just blow on an asteroid and redirect it, right?
You would think
there's
so.
Yeah. I mean, but apparently we have to send a missile into it.
You can't blow on it because no atmosphere. What do you blow at it?
Well, right? True.
You're in a vacuum. Yeah. So, yeah.
I'll keep you posted on that.
Throw a rock at it. I'm excited for this.
All right. So let's get to the Beavs losing to USC in a game we all expected to be low scoring and tight like that. 17-14. You had it that.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
That score. Right?
Yeah. Totally took the under.
Man, you got to love it. I love college football.
You never know what you're going to get.
And NFL's like this too, but it's just really awesome when a game or just something happens that you couldn't even possibly predict. Like if somebody came on the air like on Friday, conventional wisdom,
sure.
Right? And they just said, you know, I really feel like this is going to be a really low-scoring game. I think both defenses are going to bring it. I think Chance Nolan is just god-awful, so he's probably going to throw four. But, you know, if somebody said that, you would just laugh them out of the room, right?
Yeah.
But that's what happened.
But the high-powered offense and Lincoln Riley with Caleb Williams and Addison coming in, like, the Beavs aren't going to have an answer for that.
Right.
And then, but they'll have enough at the end. Like, they were shut out the entire game. They had 3 points going into the fourth quarter.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And then they did what they were supposed to do, which is you win. I mean,
you're supposed to win?
I think so. But there's one drive in the game. Was it 12 plays, 84 yards when it mattered most, and they get it, and it's Caleb Williams to Jalen Addison for the go-ahead touchdown. And so they did what they were supposed to do, but they're bottled up the entire game. So, yeah, I'm 100% with you where it's completely unexpected. But we've seen it where, like, these games are going to be competitive because every week there's a game that just completely surprised you. Kansas State beating Oklahoma was one of those games. I don't think the Beavers were such a long shot in it where nobody would have seen them being competitive because we haven't really seen anything from USC. It looks like Stanford's terrible, and they didn't play anybody else. So USC might have been good, might have been bad. The Beavs played Fresno State, Boise State played them both. In tough, close games. So you're going, okay, this could be close, but not in that fashion. You would expect the Beavers to hold the ball, run it a ton, not make mistakes, and then it would be close. No, they were close and had a chance to win, if not for the fourth interception, they had a chance.
Yeah. Sometimes, you know, when you're USC, though, and I think Oregon has a little bit of this too, you get into these games and you just have great players that bail you out.
Yeah,
you know that's just the way the cookie crumbles sometimes when you have these special guys. And like you said, it was Caleb Williams to I think you said Jalen. It's Jordan Addison.
Jordan Addison. Sorry,
it's easy to get your Addisons confused.
Yeah, my apologies.
But it was, you're right. It's like, you know, you've done everything right, and then Caleb Williams reminds you that he's Caleb Williams. If for just like one brief minute.
Yep.
You know, and then Jordan Addison reminds you that he's freaking really good. He did nothing.
Nope.
But then he said, I was reading his quotes after the game, and he said that he did late hands on that catch on purpose.
Sure.
Which I thought was great. Like, I'm like, wow, dude, that's a thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you don't think about that. Yeah. But in other words, he's saying that he didn't show his hand because the corner had his back turned.
He doesn't want to give any cues to the defender that the ball is coming.
And so he waited as long as he could to throw his hands up to catch that ball, which really, if you think about it on that play, that's the difference. Because otherwise, you would think the corner would be tipped that the ball is coming and at least put out a hand or something,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly, yep.
So I thought that was – it's just like you look at that and go – damn, that's a hell of a play by a hell of a player.
Yeah.
You know, and Williams too. So it's like, and Oregon has a little bit of this with just some, they have a few guys on defense that are just better and they're going to make a play for you when you need them, you know? And that's just sometimes how, that sometimes is what separates the best teams from the rest of the pack.
Well, and it's not just having that skill set and those thoughts going through your head, but it's also having the poise to be like, well, this is the biggest moment of the game. So everything that I've practiced for, too, it's like, you know, you have these guys that are just cagey. And the difference between an NFL wide receiver and a college wide receiver, it's we were talking about this on Saturday. Bo Nix played fine for the Ducks.
Sans the pick, yeah.
Sure. But he's a...
I thought he was actually good. Minus the pick six, he was good.
But he's a good college quarterback. I don't think... Yeah. I mean, that's pretty easy to say. Probably a very good college quarterback.
He's probably better than he gets credit for.
But I don't know that he's an NFL quarterback.
Right.
You know, in that it, you just look at it and you go, all right, this guy's very good college player. But Caleb Williams is going to be an NFL quarterback. Jordan Addison is not just a very good college wide receiver because there's some guys that just have more speed and have all of that. But to have all of those tools, that guy's an NFL wide receiver.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
you can see the difference. And they're probably both going to be like all pro, you know, at some point, certainly Addison, when you're the best receiver in college, reason for it. But yeah, those little things that you can do extra. And then in the biggest moment of the game, just go, wow, this is what matters.
I'm going to do late hands, and I'm just going to go ahead and beat you because you've held me down the whole game. There's no reason to believe anybody there's no reason for anybody in the stands to even believe I'm still in the game.
Yep.
But here I am, and oh, by the way, I'm pretty good, and I'm going to catch the game winning touchdown.
Yep. There you go.
And then on the other side, you know, Chance Nolan, that's the guy that had the, according to Pro Football Focus, he was the number one quarterback in the Pac-12 in terms of their grades. Going into, it's early, but going into that game, Chance Nolan has been playing great. He's the one that allowed them to win that game at Fresno State. And all of a sudden, against a defense that everybody thought was, you know, had a lot of work to do, he looked terrible. And he cost them the game. I mean, you hate to say it, but Chance Nolan, that's why they lost the game.
Well, the weird thing about, so you say the defense had a lot of work to do.
Well, my whole point there was he's not a special quarterback. A special quarterback, maybe. Returns the favor and drives you down. You know, is he that special? And again, that last interception wasn't necessarily his fault, although he did throw it into
It was terrible, and it was way behind the receiver.
But it got tipped. But two of those were on
him. It didn't get tipped by his wide receiver. It was tipped by another defender.
It's like, why are you forcing it at that point? But anyway, you know, Chance Nolan is what Chance Nolan is, and it's probably a lot of, like you were saying with Bo Nix, it's like you're going to take some bad with the good.
Yep.
And there was the... unfortunately, the bad. You got a special player can maybe pull that out for you.
Well, the difference between the defense that you have for USC is it's scattered with NFL defenders, where the Boise State, Fresno State defense is they're good units and they're a little bit more solidified. But here's what's interesting about the USC defense, and I didn't check the numbers after it, but going into the game against the Beavs, they were leading the Pac-12 in sacks, and right now they have a plus 12 turnover differential, which is, if I heard the stat correctly, I think it was Dirt and Sprague that were saying this earlier today, but they were saying that the plus 12 turnover differential is higher than the last 5 years for Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma combined.
I think I saw that on Sarah Schmid.
So, they're very opportunistic. Like, they're giving up a ton of yards in between the 20s, but they're not getting up a ton of points, and they're making big plays and getting turnovers. So it wasn't completely unexpected that they would put pressure on Chance Nolan. He would make bad throws because he has that gunslinger mentality. So I think it was the right defense to take advantage of a guy that was probably going in there with a ton of confidence, based on what you're saying, him being the top-rated quarterback.
Interesting game. Frustrating game for Oregon State, but I think you got to feel good about them because, you know, that I think the bones are there. You know, the offensive line, I think they could have ran the ball better against USC, but I think the offensive line looks pretty good. The defense looks pretty good. Yeah. You know, and Chance Nolan has looked pretty good up until this game. So you look at this and go, you know, that's a team, especially with Jonathan Smith, good offensive mind, that is just – you know, maybe they are just a quarterback away at this point, right? Like, they're a good team. We know they're back and they're sound, but are they really special until they get that quarterback? And then I started thinking, well, heck, you know, they almost had JT Daniels, and I'm not to say that JT Daniels is the end-all to be-all because West Virginia right now sucks, but JT Daniels is, I think, better than Chance Nolan,
most people
would say, and they almost had him. They just kind of struck out in the transfer portal for a quarterback when other teams are really hitting home runs there. I mean, like you could really boil down the USC-Oregon State game to that, is that one team hit in the transfer portal for a quarterback and the other one didn't. Yep. That's really the difference in that football game.
Well, the other thing, too, though, to keep in mind is in college football, the quarterback is important. There's no question about it. But a special offensive player, just a special player can make a difference. If you had a special back, then that game would have been very different too. I mean, you get
Jaquizz, you know, the 1 year they rode Jaquizz all the way to a USC. I think he beat him twice.
So if you just a special player, and their best offensive player was probably in the first two games was Luke Musgraves, who's missing from that game. So you have a tight end who's leading the leading receiver, the safety valve for a quarterback that's playing well. So you're playing out there without your best offensive player, and you know he's probably an NFL talent. I don't know if he's special necessarily after three games, but you have him in those moments. How much of a difference does that make too? So,
all right, it's a tough one. That's a tough one. Yep. If you're the Beavs, I get it.
And we could finish on this, but the Oregon State Beavers are one of those teams that are going to get three-star guys, develop them into the best versions of themselves, and if you get three or four guys that hit every 4 years, you have a chance to have a special season, right? USC is one of those teams where their expectations are to win the Pac-12 every single year. They've got the talent all over the place because they've got more five-star kids than anybody in the Pac-12. It's just whether or not they can step up in the moments that matter. And right now they're undefeated. The tough part for Oregon State is now your rebound game is against Utah.
Exactly.
And it gets just tougher.
Well, they beat them last year.
Yep.
And they were the only team in the Pac-12 to beat them last year.
Yep.
So that this is a good – you're like this game is just a real gut check test for where Oregon State's at. And Jonathan Smith, you know, they got a lot of work to do this week. Yep. And because Utah looks good.
Yep. And – so it's Utah followed by on the road at Stanford. So at Utah, at Stanford, and then home for Washington State, home for Colorado.
By the way, that Stanford game is an 8 p.m. kickoff they announced today.
Yes.
Another night game. Beaver fans are like, God bless America.
Yeah. And it'll be streamed on Facebook.
Right. As long as it's not on the Pac-12 network, for heaven's sake.
I know.
But USC, now on the other side of that, to wrap this up, you said the Beavers, you know, that's not a great rebound spot having to go to Utah. So gut check time for them. But go look at USC's schedule the rest of the way. I mean, they could look back on this Beavers game as the key to their season because opens wide up.
Well, they still have Utah because that'll be not next week. It'll be the week after.
Yep, they got to play Utah, but they miss Oregon and they miss Washington. Yep.
But they got the Cougs. Look out for the Cougs.
Hey.
Yeah. Cam Ward.
I'll just disappear after that one.
Watch out for him, you know.
No, the Cougs.
He's an interesting player, I guess.
Well, I mean, there's two teams you don't want to play this year, and I would agree that it's Washington State and Oregon State, and they got past Oregon State, but I think the two landmine games, and for Oregon getting past Washington State is big, but that final game against Oregon State is going to be tricky for Oregon. It's their final stretch for the Ducks. Like right now, their schedule kind of opens up for the next five games, but they finish, and I know we'll talk about the Ducks here in a minute. But they finish with Washington, Utah, Oregon State. And if you get through Washington and Utah, you're certainly not getting home free against
Washington. You know, that's a team we'll have to carve out a segment for them at some point this week. That's a team that looks nasty. That quarterback is legit.
Yeah, Penix. Yeah.
And they're sitting there undefeated. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's the Pac-12's got some depth.
Better for the Pac-12 to have Oregon and USC win.
Yes.
Yeah.
No question.
I 100% agree. Like, as a fan, like, I'm pulling as much for Washington State. I want Washington State to do well every year. They were the team of my youth, who I rooted for. I didn't end up going to the school. And no offense, Patrick, but some of the fans for Washington State can be a little bit hard to handle.
There are no Oregon fans, I'll tell you that.
Amen to that. But they could certainly be abrasive. And so I don't root for them as hard as I used to because the Coug fans take care of it for you. But, man, if they could make a run and be that Cinderella team, the darling team winning the Pac-12, I'm all in for that. But I think it is better that Oregon and USC. Yeah.
It always has been because you remember when the Big 12 had Baylor winning it.
Baylor and TCU. Remember, they were 4-5 going into the first college football playoff. And they went, never mind, let's just make them like 6-7. We don't worry about it. They just slowly just pushed them out.
Well, we do that. We're like, they're good, but they can't be that good. You know, you look at the Power Fives and the only way the Pac-12 is going to get respect is if USC and Oregon are on top. And there's a little bit of Washington in there, too.
And I think Utah has earned it maybe a little bit. If that's your final four, I think it's good.
That makes it look like the league is good. Even though if Washington State and Colorado, UCLA or somebody was on top, you know, they could still be just as good as those teams in a given year. But nobody will give them credit for being such. It's like when the Big 12 doesn't have Oklahoma and Texas, and I know they're leaving, but... Yep. If they don't have Oklahoma, Texas on top, it looks like a crappy league. It's the same with the ACC without Clemson up there or without Florida State up there. It just doesn't look right.
Well, the worst case scenario, of course, is everybody has two losses at the end of the year, which is kind of what's happened over the last however many years. And the Pac-12 eliminates themselves because the bottom of the league isn't quite as bad. The bottom of the SEC is terrible. Like Vanderbilt. What was it, 53-3 in their game this weekend against Alabama?
Bama.
Yeah, but they're not competitive in the SEC.
I think the good news is that we only have a couple more years of having to do this BS of, you can only lose once or even then you still could be out of the playoff conversation because they're going to expand it to 12 and it doesn't matter. Just win the damn Pac-12 and whoever does that is in the tournament. That's the way it should be.
Amen.
All right, let's get to the Ducks game. We'll do that next. It is 3:49 on The Fan.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Yes, that is right. Although today, it is primetime with Isaac and Luke.
Woo!
You get it?
I do.
Duke will be back tomorrow. Luke Anderson is in. We are talking football. As you may have seen, that the Ducks pulled it out. Now, I was trying to do, so I was golfing on Saturday.
Okay.
And I was trying to...
Shocked to hear that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I was trying to do the... Well, actually, I will tell you. I got to tell you something.
Yeah?
I got to announce something.
Okay.
I have... I love football so much that I have begun playing less on weekends just so that I can sit down and watch it.
Yeah, it's a good mode.
Mainly Sundays, because I get drunk on the NFL.
Yeah.
But college too, it depends on the week, you know, what games. Like, this was a big game, Oregon, Washington State. So normally I would sit there and watch it. This week I recorded it and I decided to play on Saturday since I wasn't playing on Sunday. But I have been playing less on weekends just so I can watch all these awesome games.
Yeah.
What was I telling you? Oh. I was trying to get to get home without having seen the score.
Ooh, that's a fun little game to play. And I tried to do
great,
that a couple weeks ago.
But you can't ever go into the 19th hole and expect to not see the score.
Yep.
And somebody suggested, well, let's have a drink before we go home. And I was like, okay.
That
and then
seems
I'm
like a good idea.
Oh, no. And then another guy in the group was trying not to see it too. And sure enough, he didn't see it because his back was to the TVs and he sat that way on purpose.
There should be a way to identify the room. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
you should have like a little booth that's only for people not trying to see the scores.
Like if you're wearing your hat sideways, like the brim to the side, it's like, hey, I recorded the game and don't talk to me. Like some universal signal. Because the thing is, without talking to somebody, you just come up and be like, can you believe that? Hey, sports radio guy, can you believe what happened? Because I did that a couple weeks ago with the Seahawks 49ers game. We were down in California and I recorded the game. But it was a little funky because I had to record it onto my phone because you can't sign into Hulu outside of your local area and still get the local channels because if you sign onto the local channels, you get the LA games. Anyways, it's a whole thing. So I recorded it on my phone and somebody just comes up and goes, hey, sorry about your Seahawks. And I'm like, ugh. And I had made it all day.
Wow.
Everybody I talked to, first thing I said was, hey, just so you know, I'm recording the game. I don't want to talk about it. And then somebody just across the room, hey, dummy. And I'm like, ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you know somebody's trying not to see the score of a game and you reveal the score of the game, you're an ass.
Sure. Makes you one of the worst people ever.
That's right.
It's up there with like
the worst people ever.
It's like up there with making fun of somebody for something they really like. You're just a jerk.
Yeah, you're just
being a jerk.
I thought you were going to put it up there with manslaughter. Like one of the worst things that you can do.
No, those are bad, but like most people that do that stuff usually have some form of mental illness. You're just a jerk.
Yeah. If you do it intentionally, there's no question.
What if they had glasses that if you go into a bar and you don't want to see the TVs, they just had glasses that you could put on that would just black out the TVs?
Well, I mean, I think we're overthinking this.
We should just
get t-shirts that say, hey, I'm recording the game.
Well, but I'm saying, but the TV though, like you're gonna see the scores.
Oh man,
like,
just find bars that don't have TVs.
Well, but
those are easy to find.
Yeah,
those are really easy to find in Portland, Oregon.
They actually are.
Yeah, extremely easy.
But
yeah.
You know,
you find it once and you know where it is.
Coming off the course, you know, you're going in there's a bunch of TVs on.
Yep.
Well, I happened to sit where I saw they flashed up there. They said, Ducks amazing comeback or something like that. And I was like, ah, damn it. Well, now I got to watch and see what happened. So I knew what had happened before I.
But you notice once you know the result, you watch the game very differently.
Very differently.
Which is kind of nice because then you can just go, all right, let me just skip all the commentary. I don't need any of that. So you do like the 10-second jump.
But I don't like watching it like that. I like not knowing. It's the fun.
I would agree. But you can't watch it you can't watch every play like it's live when you know what happened. So then you're kind of forced into like. It saves me 90 minutes of watching the game because I just kind of skip through. I'm like, all right, I know what happened. Yeah. Let's just get to it and see how it happened.
No, that's right.
Yeah. So it's
all right. It does save you some time. All that to tell you, Oregon, if you didn't see it, they came back and won.
They did.
And it was good.
It's quite good.
Drama. That was good.
It was.
That was intense.
There was, I don't know if you watch, if you didn't watch the entire broadcast, I think it was the third quarter where they zoom in on the Oregon fan in a sea of crimson. And he's right next to a Washington State fan who the Washington State fan has decided that he's done watching the football game. All he's going to do is verbally assault this Duck fan, which I assume was his buddy. Because he's just sitting there just jawing. And they do it in slow motion where you can just see him just yelling and spit flying, just yelling at him. And the Duck fan is just sitting there, arms crossed, taking it. And then they do, like later in the game, the comeback has happened. The Mace Funa interception returned for a touchdown. Now the Ducks have won the game. And I can't remember who the broadcast team was, but they do the well, you know, somewhere that fan that we showed earlier is having a very different conversation with his buddy. And it was just the epitome of college football there where it was like, I'm just going to rail on my buddy. This is awesome.
All right, let's get back and talk about it when we come back. We'll also have our primetime Stockwatch, what we're buying and selling from the weekend in sports, and today's very special in the news broadcast. Also, let me just check real quick on my NASA stream here, which is now down. Shocking.
Is that you're going to blame NASA or Odyssey?
I'm going to blame Odyssey. Okay.
Just checking.
On that. DART mission is T-minus 14 minutes and 20 seconds, where we're running a rocket into an asteroid, and it's going
to
be sweet.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.